answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The second thing certainly has to do with future capability. That's why we focus on all of the companies that build the weapons to operate offensively or defensively. And that has been a very comprehensive, detailed targeting plan. And also, in the last several days, both forces, the combined force of Israel and the United States, have been focusing very heavily on the industrial civilian capability of the country. For example, steel mills, other manufacturing centers and the like, clearly to have an economic impact on this country for sure in terms of its posture going forward. The third thing, and you talked about it, we want to eliminate whatever is left of this nuclear program. And we know for a fact there are some enriched uranium. How we do that is a presidential decision, whether we go take it or whether we destroy it and create more rubble out of it, which it is likely in that condition now.
That is four-star General Jack King on what we should see with Iran going forward and the U.S. and the entire region. Following this hour, Larry Connors USA, we will switch you direct to the White House for a remark from President Trump. He'd scheduled a statement for this evening, announced it yesterday. Certainly you can expect it to deal with Iran and what we're doing and where we're going to the extent that he can without endangering any troops. And he will probably address Artemis, the space shot. But we will be joining President Trump immediately following our second hour. So you can stay right here. Stay right here and get everything you want. Now, General King talking about the future, what we need to be aware of as to what else Iran could do moving forward. That is a key point. And I had a guest on in the last hour, and you might strongly disagree with him, but he makes some salient points. John Daniel Davidson of The Federalist, basically saying that everything we were told we were going to achieve, we haven't done anyway, or at least not to any great extent. I had to put a balance against that. And I told that to John Daniel Davidson at the time. Although he turned it and blamed Israel for us being in the war to begin with. Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu declared yesterday that Iran no longer poses an existential threat to Israel after this month of joint U.S.-Israeli operations, crippling Tehran's nuclear and missile capabilities. Now, that we have done. Are they all wiped out? No. This is like burning your house down to get rid of all the termites. You might get rid of all those that are alive, and you might kill some still developing and some eggs, but you may not get rid of all of them. And you start rebuilding on that foundation, you might again have the termites. The people of Iran want to be free. We know that. They've been under the mullahs since 1979 when they took over our U.S. embassy. And they turned that mostly Western civilization into basically a Sharia law country run by the mullahs. Women jerked out of school. Women were denied all privileges. Women were subject to being abused and tortured in the center square because they could. There are many in Iran that want to go back to the old days. And at what cost have we spent already dealing with Iran? We have lost troops already, killed and are wounded. Those would be those hit by some of the missiles fired by Iran into neighboring countries where we have military bases. Saudi Arabia the other day. hitting one of our AWACS planes out of Tinker Air Force Base in Oklahoma. The crew was not, I don't know, he's getting ready to say the crew was not on board. I don't know that for a fact, but I doubt it. That is, of course, one of our major surveillance planes. But apparently some of the troops on the base nearby were injured, some seriously. And, of course, we've had other casualties. There is a report out I'm going to share with you in a moment on where Americans stand on going deeper into Iran. Do you want that? What do you expect President Trump to say in the next hour? Welcome to hour number two, Larry Connors, USA, April 1, 2026. This is the beginning of the Israeli holy days, Passover. This is Holy Week for Christians. Good Friday, the crucifixion of Christ. Sunday, Easter Sunday, the resurrection of Christ for every member of the world, if you believe in his son. I do. Larry Connors, USA, air every day for you, Monday through Friday from 6 to 8. And with Larry Connors, USA, you do get news, analysis, commentary, and education. You will leave this hour with more knowledge than you have right now. And reminding you, when we're on the air right now, you can watch the program. How do you do that? You go to News Talk STL Rumble, Facebook or Twitter, or Larry Connors USA Rumble and Facebook. And everything later goes up as a podcast, audio and video, at News Talk STL, Larry Connors USA Facebook, LarryConnorsUSA.com. And reminding you again, you can subscribe for free at LarryConnorsUSA.com. We need minimum information, just your email box so we can send it direct to you. And we do not sell our list of listeners. We will not do that to you. Now, one of the other casualties we've seen in this war dealing with Iran is what we can or cannot depend on when it comes to NATO. Now, will that be part of what Trump is going to announce tonight? Now, are you suggesting, look, NATO's not helping us? Maybe there's no reason for us to continue. He's already said yesterday, these NATO countries need that Strait of Hormuz open more than we do, and they won't provide ships and personnel to help open up the strait. That might be reason enough to walk away, saying, we went into Iran with a heavy bombardment of the military facilities and now the industrial facilities, along with Israel. So we've done our job. Where are the NATO nations? He did tell a British newspaper not a single member of NATO answered his call for help in securing the Middle East. And Secretary of State Rubio says there will be a reckoning.
I've been one of the strongest defenders of NATO during my time as a United States Senator because I found great value in it. But when we need their help, not their help, we're not asking them to conduct airstrikes. When we need them to allow us to use their military bases, their answer is no. But I do think, unfortunately, we are going to have to reexamine whether or not this alliance that has served this country well for a while is still serving that purpose, or is it now become a one-way street where America is simply in a position to defend Europe?
Is that where this is headed, Dan? The United States leaving NATO? And if so, what about NATO, if anything, survives?
Look, I hope that's not the case, and we need to stop airing our differences publicly. That only helps our adversaries like Russia, which we're trying to deter Russia. I think what we need is a NATO summit behind the scenes. We need to discuss some of these tensions. Look, the NATO members will argue the United States didn't consult them before our attacks on Iran. And we will argue that NATO members were slow to come to our assistance when asked to do some things to help us in the war, to prosecute prosecute this war against Iran. So, look, both sides have issues we need to discuss, but best to do it privately. Let's leave the hyperbole out of this about leaving NATO. I don't think that's in the offing. And, of course, Congress would be very much against that. And they've passed the law that makes it clear that we won't without their approval. It's a congressional treaty. So, look, hopefully we'll have a summit and solve some of these outstanding differences.
That is Dan Hoffman, former CIA chief, and stating that we should not be airing all this out in public. That's what we do in a democracy. We make things public to the extent that we can. And yes, those are some of the disagreements and the fractures that are happening. Russia and China already know it. We're not telling anything they don't know. We're making sure the American public understands NATO nations failed to be there for us. And one of them being England. Where would England be if we had not ended up joining World War II and we did that only after Pearl Harbor attack? Where would they be? Well, now here's where UK Prime Minister Starmer is when it comes to supporting the US.
Firstly, NATO is the single most effective military alliance the world has ever seen. And it has kept us safe for many decades. And we are fully committed to NATO. Secondly, that whatever the pressure on me and others, whatever the noise, I'm going to act in the British national interest in all the decisions that I make. And that's why I've been absolutely clear that this is not our war, and we're not going to get dragged into it. Time, but now we move to the next stage with the Foreign Secretary meeting. It is increasingly clear that as the world continues down this volatile path, our long-term national interest requires closer partnership with our allies in Europe and with the European Union. Now we have made progress on this front, on agriculture, electricity, emissions trading, and more. Support, we need to make sure that nobody is left behind here. It's in our interest to have a strong relationship with the US and with Europe, but I do think that when it comes to defence and security, energy, emissions and the economy, we need a stronger relationship with Europe. I actually think that will help strengthen our relationship with the US.
Yeah, well, not when you're ignoring the US. They would not even send ships into the area to help open up the Strait of Hormuz. I raised the question earlier, do we want U.S. troops on the ground in Iran? And I say, no, we don't. Certainly not for an invasion of Iran. If it means taking Karg Island or some of the coastal facilities, that's why we have a Marine Amphibious Unit and the 82nd Airborne in theater. I still don't want it. There's got to be, maybe ways around it. We might get an indication of that from Trump tonight. But Secretary of State Rubio says we have been giving them every opportunity.
Understand this, Iran, this is a country that has trouble coming up with drinking water. This is a country whose economy is in shambles. It's going to be even worse off after this operation. This is a country whose people have been protesting in the streets because not just the lack of freedom, but the lack of economic opportunity, because they've taken all of their money. All the money they have, the little money they have because of sanctions, and they've invested all of it in sponsoring terrorism, in building long-range missiles, increasing the range of their missiles every year, and building thousands of them, and building these one-way attack drones that they're using against their neighbors. This is what they put their money towards, and this is what they were going to continue to do. They refuse to negotiate on missiles. They refuse to even negotiate on terrorism. And they refuse to negotiate on enrichment. They demand the right to enrich. So for all these people out there talking about how this could have been avoided, they were given every opportunity in multiple talks, and all they did is either reject or delay. And that's not going to happen under President Trump. He's not going to allow Iran to become a nuclear power on his watch and threaten America now or in the future.
And UK Prime Minister Starmer saying, this is not our war. Does he not realize that the ballistic missiles they've been firing lately have a range to reach England, Berlin, Italy, France? Secretary of State Rubio.
Remember, anytime you hear Iran, you know, you had an image a moment ago of this guy Arachi, their foreign minister. This guy is a liar. This guy was on television like a week ago, 2 weeks ago, denying that Iran had any missiles that could go beyond a certain limitation. And then they fired two of them. Now, we don't think they have many of them, but they are soon to have many of them. We've destroyed and are destroying the factories to make those things. Those things, the ones they launched the other day, could reach well into Europe. And actually, they had fired it on Diego Garcia. One of them failed. One of them was shot down. But they fired him at Diego Garcia, which is really far away. So they were moving towards eventually here having a missile that could reach the continental United States. That's what they were aiming to do. They were aiming to become the next North Korea, except not a North Korea run by, you know, a regime that, you know, is troublesome and hard to understand, but an Iran run by radical Shia clerics with intercontinental missiles that could reach the mainland of the United States eventually. That's what they were going towards. That's what they would have ultimately achieved had President Trump not taken these steps that he's taken.
A recent Ipsos poll found 55% of Americans would not support any ground troops in Iran. 7% would. Trump's actions and remarks tonight tied to votes. Your opinion, do you think it will be? Well, that's right after this hour. In the meantime, leftists looking for a way to replace the GOP at midterm. Senator Cory Booker.
This has got to be a moment where we don't just beat Trump. It's not just what we're against. We need to start talking about what we're for and having a bolder vision for what we can be as a country and who we can be together.
I mean, no one likes any of those things, right? Voters hate corruption, and they're doing it out in full view. There's a brazenness that suggests that they don't think Democrats can beat them.
Yeah, I think, so first of all, take a little responsibility. I think that the Democratic Party should eschew a lot of this same kind of gross money in politics, individuals trading stocks. I'm happy that a lot of people in my party are leaning on some of those things. But what Donald Trump is doing is taking it to a level never before imagined. He's made more money in 1 year in office than all the other U.S. presidents in American history combined, openly grifting, taking millions and millions of dollars in payments through his crypto schemes from the very countries that have huge national security.
All right, enough. He goes on and on about this. Did he ever raise any noise about Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton's foundation? No. Did he ever say anything about the Joe Biden and Hunter Biden schemes? No. Whatever he says is the voice of a hypocrite. Keep that in mind. New Jersey Senator Booker. He knows about schemes. Coming up, we had a ruling out of the Supreme Court yesterday. 8-1. 8-1. What does it mean? And in fact, it deals with how your children are being handled by counselors and therapists. Dr. Carol Lieberman will be joining us with her views on what that decision will hold going forward. And the NBA boots out a player because he's pushing Christian values but accepting thugs and drug dealers? Really? Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Previously, I've told you about dustless blasting, a special service offered by Wellington Environmental. It could work for you in your place. Recently, a crew removed a driveway sealer that had failed. The owner wanted to go back to the original concrete so it could be properly sealed. Dustless blasting worked. That homeowner is happy. Now, sometimes surfaces need pressure washing instead of blasting. In fact, there was an exterior stone fireplace cleansed by pressure washing. And when it dried, all the dark stain was gone. That stone had its original appearance. Wellington is versatile with blasting. Dustless blasting or whatever you need. They will evaluate and make a decision. How do you get them to your door? Very easy. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, making your world great. In fact, be safe, be well with Wellington Environmental. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. John Beall Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Beall to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beall has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 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 John Beall. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. VincentsJewelers.com. VincentsJewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL.
I hear the train a-coming. It's rolling around the bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. So yesterday, on an 8-1 ruling, which is pretty outstanding, the Supreme Court struck down Colorado's ban on conversion therapy for minors as a First Amendment violation. Now, what exactly was that, and what impact does it have? Joining us, Beverly Hills psychiatrist, Dr. Carol Lieberman. And welcome aboard. Glad to have you, doctor.
Thank you so much.
So, first of all, your response to that kind of ruling 8-1 out of the court.
Yes, it's about time. I think some sanity prevailed. This really is, well, first of all, when Colorado made the law in 2019, I was appalled because basically, you know, they're telling psychiatrists and other mental health professionals what they can do in therapy. Now, I mean, yes, of course, there should be some state regulation in terms of like no abuse in therapy, you know, no sexual abuse or physical abuse, any kind of abuse, and other kinds of rules like that. But not what you talk about in talk therapy. Now, conversion therapy, there are lots of different types of conversion therapy. And the point of conversion therapy is to get someone to change their gender or if you're gay or lesbian, you should become heterosexual. That's sort of the bottom line. But there are lots of ways to do that, or there have been. A lot of these things aren't done anymore. But, you know, there were things like shocking people when they look at pictures of someone of the same sex, or using a rubber band for the same kind of thing. But, you know, talk therapy is very different. And no one really was trying to, I shouldn't say no one, but the woman who brought this case was a therapist, and she certainly wasn't planning to change people from being LGBTQ+ to being heterosexual. And most therapists are not really trying to change people. They're trying to get to the bottom of why they're confused, or what emotions they're feeling.
Well, what about the other side of it? Not trying to change, but support and build up what their belief is. Is that considered conversion therapy as well?
You mean supporting their LGBTQ+?
Or whatever their view is, yeah.
Well, I mean, yes, I don't think that's not really called conversion therapy, but certainly that is something that can be done in therapy. I mean, the truth is you're supposed to be getting to the bottom of what is making a person tick, whether it has to do with LGBTQ plus or anything else that is making them feel unhappy or having other kinds of psychological symptoms. So, in today's world, with the gender-affirming care, so it's called, people are getting pumped into this pipeline after like a half an hour of talking with a therapist,
right.
Which does not get to what's really the problem.
And the other part, now the case itself did deal with that kind of as they are wanting to refer it to conversion therapy. But it also, I want to go back one step. It also deals with anything that the psychiatrist, psychologist is trying to address with the patient that might not have anything to do with sex or gender, correct? It's basically telling them what they can or cannot say.
You're talking about the Colorado law?
Well, it's specific at that point to sex transition, but does it have ripples beyond that based upon that law and that ruling yesterday?
Well, I mean, what the Supreme Court did was to say that this is that there are First Amendment rights to the psychiatrist or mental health professional, and that the government shouldn't be telling them which side of any kind of argument to come down on. And that is true.
So that would involve any subject to that, any subject then. So
right.
You're right that what it was really, what the point was, is to silence anyone from either, what, protecting a child from this transgender ideology push, or maybe even protect those who wanted to push the child into it.
Well, it was more for the Colorado law, which, by the way, about 20 other states have, you know, and so now those states' laws are in question. But it was primarily aimed at this idea of not wanting any therapist to talk any LGBTQ plus person or any child who is thinking of, you know, that they want to transition or that they have same-sex attraction, that they didn't want anybody, any therapist to get in the way of that.
And if you don't like what your therapist is telling you, you go find another therapist who will agree or will support
That's
you.
That's true. Yes. And really, it's just about being honest and about really looking deep into what is bothering the person. What's been happening in our society, especially in part because of the COVID epidemic, when kids missed school for 2 years and were socially isolated, and then they came back and they were very confused and they missed out on those years of psychological development, social development, and so they were very confused and unhappy, and teachers and the internet, you know, social media took advantage of that,
right?
And tried to tell them that, yes, you know, what's wrong with you is that you're in the wrong body. You're a boy biologically, but you're not really a boy. You should transition and vice versa.
You know, I read a story and I shared with the audience the other day, and I'm sure you're more familiar with it, that there was a recent survey that when they went back to some of these kids, they'd lost interest in it. They'd basically decided it was a trend, a fad, and I don't care
yes.
about it anymore.
Yes, exactly. And you know what's so interesting, and this is helpful too. Well, there are a lot of things that are helpful now towards putting a stop or at least slowing down these conveyor belts
yeah.
to hormones and surgery. First of all, Trump's taking away federal funds to some clinics
right.
that provide these services. And then more and more people detransitioning. You know, realizing that if they did take hormones or surgery or something, this was a mistake. And some of these people, so they're role models now for people who are thinking of doing it. And also the fact that some people who are detransitioning have sued the doctors or clinics, but convincing them to do this without really finding out, you know, giving them a sufficiently in-depth psychiatric evaluation.
And several cosmetic plastic surgeon groups have said we're no longer going to support it for anyone under the age of 19. Where is the AMA, our basic do no harm for our patients?
Where is the AMA, indeed? They have gone woke, as has gone the American Psychiatric Association and the American Psychological Association. And yes, pediatrics. And the American Psychiatric Association, for example, published about a year ago in their publishing arm a book about gender affirmation therapy, you know, affirming gender transition. I mean, so they were like not only not saying anything bad about it, but they were encouraging people to do it.
So what do you think, in the last minute here or so, why do we see more kids truly just turning away and saying, oh, I'm not interested anymore? I mean, to me, from the very beginning, it was, well, all the other girls are doing it, so I want to do it. I mean, it was, if you're, as your mama always said, if they jumped off the hill, would you jump off the hill?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. People go through phases when they're growing up.
Yeah.
And just because a boy likes to play with dolls or a girl likes to climb a tree doesn't mean that they want to be the opposite sex.
That's an excellent point and should be drilled down on a continuous basis. Well, Dr. Lieberman, in our last 30 seconds, you think this is going to be a good bellwether for our nation and our children moving forward?
I certainly hope so. And really, the message should be that everybody needs much more in-depth talk therapy before they make any kind of tremendous switch, you know, a major change in their life, whether it's having surgery or hormones or some other, you know, major life change. They need to have talk therapy that is not just 15 minutes and the psychiatrist giving them some prescription, but really talking for many, many months.
Amen and amen. Dr. Carol Lieberman, thank you for your time again.
You're very welcome.
You bet. Dr. Carol Lieberman, also known as America's Psychiatrist, board-certified Beverly Hills psychiatrist. And yes, if this is turning away from wokeness and pushing kids into it, that's the key, pushing kids into it and encouraging them, basically saying, well, if you don't feel right, then maybe we need to change your gender as if that's going to solve everything. Especially after a 15-minute consultation. Come on. All right, coming up, we've got a lot more to cover, including the NBA player booted from the Bulls because he does not want to bow down to Pride Week. They're willing to accept a lot of misfits in the NBA, but not that. And the voter mail-in issue, still to come.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-E-R, underlaw.com. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. When I have business clients or guests from out of town, I often take them to Cafe Napoli. I know they're going to enjoy any of the Napoli locations. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, next to Napoli C, Napoli Kirkwood, or Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Excellent food and intellectual conversation. if they bring the intellectual conversation. NapoliSTL.com. NapoliSTL.com. You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold radiation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington.
This is News Talk STL.
Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more.
What you say?
Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
So the fundamentals of our democracy are built on voter integrity. It's a total agreement amongst everybody. So here's the idea. The states, right, run these elections. They will, if they want to use the U.S. mail, the U.S. Postal Service, they're going to get a code, a barcode from the U.S. Postal Service, and they're going to put that on the envelope, and we will have one envelope per vote. None of this time where we have no idea, there's no observers to mail, there's no envelopes, there's no certainty. That's all going to go away, and what the president is doing today is he's going to make sure that mail-in ballots are safe, secure, and accurate, and will have a clear distinction. If you voted by mail, you will have it on the envelope. Obviously not on the ballot, but on the envelope. So we will know a million mail-in ballots. There'll be a million envelopes, and you'll be able to know exactly, correctly, that citizens voted.
Yep, that is exactly the way it should be. We want to make sure you are who you are. Now, a lot of folks are saying, well, Trump says he's against mail-in ballots, but he mailed in his ballot for an election the other day. Yes, but it can be verified. It's him, and he's making one vote, casting one vote. I'm amazed. Well, I should take that back. I'm really not amazed at what the left can end up making an argument out of from time to time, just to make an argument, but they're very good at doing it. They're very good. We should want to have verification of every vote. Everyone who votes illegally is stealing a vote, and they might be canceling your vote. Keep that in mind. They are canceling your vote, possibly, and especially if they're an illegal immigrant. Now, if you're a leftist, you don't care because you know they're going to be right there with you, right? You certainly hope so. All right, I want you to know something, that today President Trump was attending the Supreme Court's oral arguments on the birthright citizenship. As he wrote on his post on Truth Social, we're the only country in the world, stupid caps stupid, enough to allow birthright citizenship. It's basically the Josoli verdict and opinion, meaning the right of the soil, the right of anyone born in the U.S. is a U.S. citizen. We have told you repeatedly that we have numerous foreign nationals coming into our country in the final stages of pregnancy just to have their baby born here, so they are automatically a U.S. citizen. And then, be they from China, Russia, North Korea, they go back home. But now they have an opening to come into the USA when the child gets older. So that's been an argument before the high court today. They've been hearing this case against birthright citizenship. Trump had issued the executive order on his first day in office trying to prevent automatic citizenship for those born on U.S. soil. He did attend the session today. That's the first time, let me stress, the first time a sitting president has ever attended the Supreme Court oral arguments in the nation's history. The Trump administration arguing that the 14th Amendment has long been misinterpreted to grant citizenship to illegal aliens. Listen to the White House counsel.
The left would have you believe that this issue's already been settled, that the president's arguments are radical, but that's just not true. The Supreme Court has never resolved this issue in our nation's entire history. And President Trump is absolutely right. The Citizenship Clause was passed in order to give citizenship to the children of freed slaves, not illegal immigrants. So the arguments of critics are just wrong. You know, the Constitution grants citizenship to those, one, born in the U.S., and two, subject to the jurisdiction thereof. Now, what does that mean? Well, tomorrow, we're going to be arguing in front of the Supreme Court that history shows that it means that an individual owes their primary allegiance to the United States and not a foreign power.
And that was a statement made yesterday regarding today's oral arguments. It'll be a time before we know the decision of the court. But judging by what was said today, the justices are pushing back against Trump's sweeping efforts to restrict who can be called an American. I hope that does not go the way I fear it will be. In the meantime, Ron DeSantis has been pointing out something that should be kept in mind. And that is, when it comes to protecting the vote is one thing, and then also protecting your family, especially from illegals in our country.
I appreciate the legislature for passing this, but I will just say to my friends in the Florida House of Representatives, I don't think what you've done is enough. You have the power and you have sufficient numbers in your chamber to impeach this judge, Tiffany Baker. Until you start holding these judges accountable, they are going to continue to find ways to benefit the criminal element. This was an outrage. This was such an easy call to make sure that this guy was put behind bars. And this judge refused to do it, knowing the risks. And the result has obviously been a tragedy. So Florida Constitution vests the House of Representatives with the ability to bring an impeachment against a circuit judge with two-thirds majority. You know, last time I checked, we've got way more than two-thirds of Republicans. Honestly, I think some Democrats would vote to impeach, given what happened in this case.
And he's talking about a case where a child rapist, while on bail, tortured and killed a 5-year-old little girl. A 5-year-old little old girl. The left is buying into all of this. We want open borders. I'm telling you, there's a survey that says they're on the wrong side, but they're going to continue to stand there. Majorities of Republicans, Democrats, and swing voters, according to a poll by Harvard Harris surveying 2,000 registered voters, stand this way. 51% of Democrats, 63% of Republicans, 52% of independents and others agree the Democrat Party wants open borders. The overall result, 56% agree. That's what Democrats want. 44% say, no, we don't want open border. You lie. You lie if you say that. You were complicit with Joe Biden when he said, just come on across. The border is open. The same survey showed 77% support deporting criminal migrants. 54% support deporting all migrants. Now, the way this is written, when it says all migrants, the word illegal should be in there. I don't want to deport all migrants. This country is made of migrants. It's the illegals. And I'm not necessarily pushing to deport all illegals as long as they have been in the country, they've been doing no harm, they're simply earning a living. We need to have a review of immigration laws. That I will agree with. But in the meantime, we close the border, which Trump has, and we start getting all the bad hombres. And yes, if you want to take that as a slur, so be it. Many of them are not hombres, as in Mexican. They might be from China or the Middle East. And some of them might even be jihadists looking for an opportunity to attack our nation or your family. The top immigration deputy for President Joe Biden is even urging the Democrat Party, you need to promise firm control of the border. Are you listening? Are you listening? This is a former top immigration deputy for Biden telling the Democrat Party, we need to acknowledge that crossing the border illegally is a crime and shut down the illegal immigration chain altogether. Joe Biden stood on a stage when he was facing all of his opponents, and the question was raised, do you think it should be wrong to cross our country, come into our country illegally? Should that be a crime? And the others quickly raised their hand. He looked around, which way is the wind blowing, and finally raised his hand, agreeing that, yes, it should not be a crime. And that's why we have 12-plus million, more than that, 15, 18 million illegals in our country should not be here. Not all of them are creating crimes, but many are, and we know they are. And you got still sanctuary cities and states looking to protect them in fighting against ICE and our Department of Homeland Security. All right, changing gears, because we change gears a lot on this program. If you listen to Larry Connors USA, you know we go through a lot of material. You got to buckle up and hold on. I want to turn my attention to the NBA player booted because he was professing his religion. Jaden Ivey with the Chicago Bulls.
They said my conduct is detrimental to the team, right? Why didn't they just say we don't agree with his stance on LGBTQ? Why didn't they say that? But how is it conduct detrimental to the team? What did I do to the team? What did I do to the players? I did nothing but practice with them, play with them, pass the ball to them, good teammate to them. Said good job, good shot, good job, good pass. Way to play, bro. Right? I said these things to my teammates. Was never detrimental to them. So why is it that the NBA and the Chicago Bulls say that I'm detrimental to the team? How? Because I believe in the truth? Because I know Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? How? How is my conduct detrimental to the team? Because of what I believe. Because of what the truth is.
Spoken as a Christian. Not an NBA player, but a Christian. A man following Jesus. Now, if he'd said, I'm all about more Pride Night support and everybody should celebrate Pride, they would welcome that. They would have no issue with it. Ivy, who's 24 years old, said they proclaim Pride Month in the NBA. They proclaim it. They show it to the world. They say, come join us for Pride Month to celebrate unrighteousness. They proclaim it on billboards in the streets, unrighteousness. So how is it I cannot speak against righteousness, their unrighteousness? And they tell me, man, you're crazy. And yes, several are saying, you know, he's kind of lost his mind. He posted a series of videos criticizing NBA teams for celebrating Pride Month. And they are saying he's lost his senses. Something happened to him. Got maybe hit in the head on one of the plays. No sane person would speak out against Pride Month and celebration across the league. He's not singling any person out. He's just saying the whole idea is wrong, and it's wrong in the face of God. He also added, after being weighed by the Chicago Bulls, in reference to his former team, the Detroit Pistons, also hosting a Pride Night, and said, and I want you to listen to this should resonate. especially in this Holy Week. Passover began at sundown today, begins at sundown for the Jewish faith. And for the Christian faith, this is Holy Week. Friday is the crucifixion of Christ. Sunday, Easter Sunday, the resurrection of Christ for all the world, if you believe. And Jordan Ivey said, referenced the Detroit Pistons also going after him, said, the Detroit Pistons, quote, are not going to matter on Judgment Day. They're not going to matter. And I agree with that. And then hours after the Chicago Bulls guard, Jaden Ivey, was weighed for criticizing the Pride Knights, NBA Mavericks forward Daniel Gafford was asked about the faith message on his shirt during a press conference. The message read, faith isn't for the weak. At first he seemed taken back a little bit, didn't really want to discuss his faith openly. And he said, looking at what happened to Ivy, I don't want to go deep into that, but then ended up saying, I didn't really see what it said until you said something about it. But I mean, faith isn't for the weak, because God gives his test to his strongest soldiers, most definitely. And I really couldn't go deep into that with the stuff that's going on with the Ivy situation. We're going to keep it at that point. But he's still making it clear, I believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. But you got a lot of the leftist legacy media in sports as well. They want to call that, oh, here's somebody else you need to oust from the NBA. I would want to repeat what Jordan Ivey said. On Judgment Day, will you even matter in your opinion? I'm not preaching, I'm asking. President Trump is coming up in just a few minutes right here on Newstalk STL. To hear what he's going to say about Iran, what we will or will not do going forward, and any other message he wants to convey. Please stay with Newstalk STL and hear it. We are your number one live conservative voice in the St. Louis area. And all around the world using our app, our free app. Get it. Share it with others. Join us again tomorrow. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.